Go ahead.
I've just had so many competing things going on that business has been on a low priority, and I haven't really focused on anything. I haven't done my assignment, and I haven't been having my VIPSA conversations. And I probably I've come to the realization as it regards my coaching with you. I've come to the realization that I probably need you more now than I have ever needed you. So I've got to get back on track, and business has been taking a back seat. I've been in survival mode, Rob. I do my monthly calls, my daily calls. I do all of those. But I haven't been proactive in other areas like with VIPSA and with, you know, putting together that homework assignment. I did start it, but I just put it aside. I haven't finished it. And it's really three-pronged area. It's issues going on at home, it's issues going on at church, and then my own health issues. And so I shouldn't, but I've kind of let them take precedence over things, and I've got to learn how to take all those things and put them aside and focus when I'm here at work. But sometimes it's been a little bit difficult, and so I don't have anyone to blame but myself. But I've just been doing the bare minimum for the last month or so, and I've got to get out of that. I gotta grow my business, and I gotta move forward, and so I need you more than ever now, Rob.
Well, you used the word blame or guilt or something. I'm not sure that fits in here. Kent, your faith and my faith differ a little bit. I'm Baptist. You're Mormon. And I struggle from time to time. Now, depression is too strong a word, and I think I've shared this with you. If I'm not attentive, I can get into a black hole. And it's I can come out a lot more quickly than I used to. Matter of fact, I come out pretty quickly now.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, I read the Bible more, not every day, but almost every day, and read some books, and my wife is kind of in a difficult place right now for a myriad of reasons, family origin and stuff. And what I'm learning is that people are in a place that God wants them. You don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why children get cancer. I don't know why people beat their children. I don't understand things like that. But I do understand that I'm where God wants me to be. And my prayer for myself and for Anna, my wife, is that he will show me what he wants me to learn from difficulties. And I pray for peace as I go through the difficulties. Knowing that nothing happens in my life that God says, gosh, I never thought about that. That one sneaks up on me. So I don't know why, you know, all you shared with me all going on in your life with family and a son-in-law who's addicted to has an addiction and so on and so forth. And I don't know why that's happening, but I know who does. And if he wants me to be here, I'm just going to be here and understand that it's his will, and maybe on this earth and maybe not till later, I'll find out what the purpose was. Maybe it's to bring me closer to him. Maybe it's to be less self-centered. Things, you know, again, That's what helps me, Kent. Knowing that this is where he wants me, and then trying to learn from why I'm where I am when I get in a black hole. Does that make any? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's one of the best sermons I've heard in a long time, Rob. I'm sincere. I know you're a Baptist. I know that I'm a Mormon, but I think you and I have a lot more similarities than we do differences.
I do too, Kent. I do too. Our pastor is going through a sermon series, and he's talking about difficult times, and the baseline is the story of Joseph being put in the pit by his brothers and then sold into slavery, and he didn't know why he was, his brothers threw him in the pit. He didn't know why he got sold. He didn't know why Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to get in bed with her when he didn't. But he learned at the end. He was put there so he could be second in command of Pharaoh, interpret a dream, and have Pharaoh put aside food for the coming famine. So I don't know if you. I'm going to send you a link. And I have one other fellow I do this with from time to time, a link to this sermon series, and a lot of what I've shared with you is what he's been teaching.
And I agree with all those. The story of Joseph in the Old Testament is one of my favorites. There's so many things to be learned from that, and it's one of my all-time favorites. Every time I go back and read it and study it, I learn a tremendous amount from him. And he was an amazing guy, but he was an amazing guy because he put God first. All this trial I've been going through, all these trials, I've been praying, and you're right on the money. I've been praying, rather than why is it going on, I've been praying, what is it that I'm supposed to learn? What am I to learn out of this? And I think the thing that, because I'm the pastor of my group, I'm the bishop, which is analogous to being the pastor, and that's the sermon that I gave to them. But it was more for me. It wasn't as much for them. And it was, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will come into place. So you're preaching some pretty good stuff here.
Sometimes it's easier to preach it than live it, isn't it, Kent? I used to pray take it away, and I don't pray that anymore. I pray. So that's what you're talking about fits in what our preacher's been talking about. Are you having some health issues, or are you talking about the health issues in your family?
No, I'm having health issues.
Around what, if I may ask?
Sure, Rob, you're a good friend. To make it succinct, your bladder is a muscle, and when your bladder gets full, that muscle will contract, and it forces the fluid out of your body. And the muscle on my bladder is not working. It's old, it's worn out, and it's not working. And so I'm not emptying my bladder in the way that I should. I'm retaining more liquid. And when I go to empty my bladder, it's not very much. And they checked my prostate. I do not have prostate cancer. My prostate is enlarged a little bit, but they've told me that my prostate is 25% of my problem, and my bladder, the lack of a strong bladder wall with a good muscle is 75% of my problem. They have put me on medication to reduce the size of my prostate, but it's only helped marginally. And there is no surgery that you can do on a muscle to improve the muscle or to improve the bladder. And so we've been trying to treat it with medication. I'm on 4 different medications.
Wow.
They have a particular side effect that I don't really care for. And the whole idea behind these medications, 3 of them are just to open the passageway so that it's as big as it can be. And then the other one is to kind of strengthen the walls of the bladder, but they take some time. And we've gone over this and we've reviewed it, and this has probably been a lifelong problem for me as a kid. I always had an urgency to go to the bathroom. In first grade, I would wet my pants, which is very embarrassing anytime.
Yeah.
And then growing up in rural North Carolina, you know, the bus ride to school was an hour every day. And, you know, it's pretty embarrassing to have the bus driver stop so you can get off the bus and go behind a bush and have all the kids laugh at you. And so I would hold it. I'd hold it as long as I could. And then in high school, most of the time I couldn't wait for the bell to ring. I was going to the bathroom after every class. And I didn't want to get up in the middle of class and go, so I would hold it. And I don't think that was good for my bladder all those years. And so when I got to be an adult, I told myself, I don't care what kind of meeting is going on, but if I got to go to the bathroom, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I think it's been something that's been building up for a long, long time. But I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58. And they told me I have the bladder of an old man. And the next step, which I've been trying to avoid, is I'm going this afternoon, but the next step is they'll teach me how to catheterize myself every morning or every night, and that doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
No.
So I've been putting that off, but they say that, you know, it's not as bad, and the tubing is a lot smaller, and but I feel bloated all the time. You know, I'm carrying around extra liquid, and sometimes I get an urge to go to the bathroom, and I go, and I either can't get anything out or a drop or two. So that's what I've been dealing with.
Boy, I tell you what, it's a full plate, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a full plate. I'll say one thing, and I don't have any expertise in what you just talked about. We go to a holistic doctor who treats with not with medicine, not with prescriptions, but with supplements. And he has made a tremendous difference in my wife's health.
Wow.
I know that's a different thing, but she couldn't get out of bed in the morning. She just literally just almost couldn't get out of bed, and we've been going to this guy for 3 years, and she is a different woman. Now, I don't know.
Well,
that's, some people think these guys are witch doctors, but he's made a big difference in my wife's life. Next time I see him, or I'll ask his office if there's anybody in your area, you know, just to get a second opinion. You feel like spending a little bit of time on business?
Yeah, I sure need to. You know, I really need to. So the answer to your question, yes.
All right. Let's simplify it for a few minutes. What do you think you're going to finish the year versus last year? Up, down, what do you think?
Well, if everything remains the same, I'm going to finish about the same where I did last year. I have a client who's in the midst of selling his business and is going to have a cash event of $20 million. The best case, I think, is I could win all $20 million of the business. I think a more likelihood is that I would win $10 million worth of the business. And while that would go into managed money at about 1% or 95 basis points, that could boost the last couple of months of the year. But I think it's going to be pretty close to what it was last year, about 850, 860, somewhere in that neighborhood, close to 900.
Okay. Do you feel – let me finish my notes. Do you feel that you are providing the service that you want to provide to your clients? Let's forget about the growth side. Not eliminate it, just forget about it for a second. Do you think that you are giving your clients the service you've promised them?
For the most part, yes, I do, because the more I do Supernova, the more I'm convinced that the biggest thing I can do for my clients is provide that proactive contact. And the underlying investments, while I would always like the return numbers to be better, they're right in line with everybody else. They're not better, they're not worse. But it's the educating, I'm very consistent on my monthly calls, and I think for the most part I'm providing and offering plans for those who are willing to submit themselves to a plan. And so, yeah, for the most part, I think I am providing to my clients what I promised.
Well, help me with, you said for the most part. What is that? Does that mean that you think so, but you're not 100% sure, or there's something that you're not delivering to them? What does that mean?
Well, I have my life insurance license, but I don't have my health license. And that, you know, 25 years ago when I took the test and they said, do you want to take the health? I said, well, I'll never need health, and so I didn't take it. By not having a health license, I don't have the capability or the ability to show clients long-term care.
Yeah.
And there's a need there. And I need to find the time. I need to make the time. You can't find time. You make it. I need to make the time to get my health license and show them. And some of my clients, I really need to sit down and do a review of the financial plan that we've done, because I can tell they're a little bit out of control. And so those are two areas where I can see improvement on my part in what I promised to give my clients.
Okay, I got the health license part, but what was the first one?
Just reviewing their financial plan.
Okay. All right.
Going back and revisiting the plan that we did for them.
Okay. All right. Well, I wrote myself a little note here, and I wrote this back on August 10th, the meeting that we had to postpone. You have two choices. You can continue on the way things are going. And right now, at 850 to 900, I know you want to be a million-dollar producer. I know that you've got a place for any money that you earn. But there are worse things in the world than doing 850 to 900. There are a lot of people who would trade with you. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So one choice is continue on the path that you've been on. And that doesn't mean not making some refinements, but you're going to take care of your clients. You're going to look for obvious opportunities, blah, blah, blah. The other choice is get outside your comfort zone. And that gets to what we talk about. We talked about a couple of months ago, the BIPSA conversation, when people recognize your value going into that conversation. Now, right now, you've got a lot going on. Does it make sense? And I'm asking, I'm not guiding you here. Does it make sense to to have your priorities as far as your business goes, to continue to take care of clients. Part of that is having your revisiting your financial plan, your financial plans, because if you remember, Kent, I always want you to be able to tell your clients two things about, and your prospects, two things about your planning. Number one, it's fully implemented, and number two, it's revisited on a regular basis. So that's part of taking care of your clients. And then the third part would be taking your health test. Now, I don't spend a lot. Well, that's not true. I still keep up with my CFP continuing ed, but I'm sure that's a lot more interesting than getting the health license. But that's something that you could, if all you had to do, what a ridiculous premise, but if all you had to do was to study for this health license, there wouldn't be a lot of stress around that, would there?
No.
You have admitted that asking for begin referral conversations is outside your comfort zone, but getting your health license, that's in your comfort zone. So instead of being staked out on the ship of shame, why not focus on a few things right now that are what you're doing now and within your comfort zone, doing them really well, and I know good things will come from that. The health license, I don't need to talk about it. You know how to do that. reviewing and revisiting the plans. You remember that planning matrix I sent you? Not in this round, but I've sent it to you before. Does that ring a bell?
Vaguely.
Well, I'm going to send it to you while we're talking here.
You know, I've got my folder here. I may just have it right here. It's called the planning matrix.
It's called a planning matrix. We'll have a race here and see who can get it first. Boom, 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 boom. All right, I found it first. Got to print it for myself. I got the noisiest printer in the world. I apologize.
I was about to say that, and you beat me to it.
Well, I only buy Canon products because their service is unbelievably good. So I probably ought to go find their latest model. Okay, it's on the way to you. Here's
okay.
Well, again, I just want to simplify things for you. What you're going to get, and I'll tell you when it leaves here, because when I'm on a satellite now, I just left here, so you probably got it.
Not quite yet. Oh, there it is.
All right. Isn't that amazing? Burwood, Tennessee to Las Vegas, Nevada in 20 seconds.
Never would have imagined it years ago.
Yeah, but things change. Okay. Now, what I'm talking about here is getting to the basics, getting you things that you're good at, you're already comfortable with, because here's my – you know the definition of inertia, don't you?
Tell it to me again.
Inertia is the tendency of the body in motion to stay at motion.
Oh, yes, yes.
To stay at rest.
Yes.
I'm sensing a lack of energy with you. So what I want to do is I want to get you activity begets activity, inactivity begets more inactivity. So
correct.
what I want you to, this thing with your planning makes a lot of sense. And if you will look at this, and I think, does it look familiar to you now that you see it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You put your clients in one of four categories. And I'm not going to read this whole thing to you, but I'm going to hit the high
spot. Right.
Clients with an up-to-date plan. Part of your planning process is your plans are reviewed on a regular basis. Our recommendation is that be a year, if you review them on a yearly basis, or if they're event-driven, divorces, marriages, inheritances. But if you review them on a year, every year. Second category are people with a plan that has not been revisited in the past year. Third category are people who've said no. And the fourth are people who you haven't had a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all your clients, Kent, they'll all fit in one of those four categories.
Absolutely, sure.
And I've put some verbiage in here.
Mm-hmm.
Go to people without a plan. I mean, category two, Mr. Fry, in December 14, we completed a plan for you. I was reviewing the plan, and there are a couple of issues I want to discuss, update. Again, I'm just trying to get you, you've got something you like better, use that. You know, and the action step for category two is review and update the plan at your next quarterly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if how many households do you have?
65.
Okay. This exercise, you could, this could get you some quality activity, which usually when you sit down with a client and do some planning, there are opportunities that pop up. So I would, the first thing I would do is I would get this, use this, and I would figure out, hold on a second. I would put your clients in whichever category they're in, and then the next time that you're talking with them, I would embark on the conversation. You go to category three, people who've said no. Somebody taught me once at Merrill Lynch, you can never say the right thing too many times. If they said no in the past, you call them, you tell them you feel planning's important, and you'd like to engage in the process, and I've given you a script there. So that is going, I think that's something that that makes sense to be doing. Again, you want to make sure plans are fully implemented, and you want to make sure that they're revisited on a regular basis. And who knows, Kent, you may be going through this process with somebody, and people are just gushing about it. Gosh, Ken, I really appreciate this. I never thought about that. Thank you for doing it. It just might jump out at you to say, well, thank you for saying this. Planning is a big part of my practice. Do you know anybody else who might benefit from that type of planning? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that happens or not, Kent, you're going to have some activity. You know, some of your best days, Kent, you walk out and you hadn't done a lot of business, but you feel terrific because you know you've done things that are moving the ball forward.
Right.
You've gone out to see a prospect. You've delivered a plan. You've done an asset reallocation, whatever. But some of your best days as an advisor weren't great days because you did a lot of business. They were great days because you did the things that you knew were important that would lead to strengthening relationships and therefore do more business in the future. If you go through this exercise, it'll force you to have some activity. I think you're going to get energized from that.
Mm-hmm.
You work into there, you're getting your health license, and now you've gotten something accomplished that's going to serve you well for a long time. Do you know how to get the health license thing started, the study material?
You know, I've asked my assistant to get started on that, and she's out this week, but she told me next Monday or next week she'll have that information for me. So I'm learning, I'm trying to learn how to delegate things to her better. Rather than taking my time to figure it out, I'm going to let her do that.
Always a good idea. So I think, you know, going back to what I said a minute ago, there are two things that you can continue doing things the way you're doing them. You're doing them ethically. You're helping people. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. Working in this planning matrix is in that comfort zone area. You might have opportunities to do. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing feedback.
Yeah, you're kind of going in and out, but I'm hearing every word.
Okay. So this is making me crazy. I'm going to – is it still – now it's gone.
Okay.
The host has joined the conference.
Is it more clear?
Yeah, I can hear you nice and clear. Are you getting any feedback now?
No, it's gone. It's gone.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So I think that's a good plan. What do you think?
Yeah, this is what I hope to get on the call is to get back up and going. Continuing in the same way is not really what I want to do, because you know as well as I do, in this business, if you're not growing, you're going backwards. I mean, my clients are getting older, and continuing in the same way is probably not a good option because my production will probably start going down as, you know, one client dies and you haven't replaced them, and so... So I need to get outside my comfort zone. Going in the same way is not gonna get it done.
I know that. But here's the deal: you are where you are right now. You got a lot going on. You've shared with me, as I said earlier, you've shared with me that, you know, having these VIPs of conversation, whatever, is outside your comfort zone. So my point here is let's stay in your comfort zone but do activities that are going to lead to more business and possibly some referrals. I mean, you get some referrals from time to time, Kent, that are not solicited. So put yourself in a position to do that. So
okay.
I think working on this planning matrix, getting started with your health license. My guess is you could just rely on memory. You know, you could probably have your health license in a month to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is what we talked about before is putting that practice overview together. You remember that exercise?
Well, where I went and identified my top 20 clients.
Nope, where you just put your practice down on one sheet of paper. It had basic beliefs, clients can expect, what we expect of clients.
Oh, yeah, that was the last homework that you gave me.
Yeah, and here's what I'd like you to do a little bit of, and again, just this is not something you have to do it all in one setting. You know what your basic beliefs are. You know what clients can expect from you. They can expect monthly contact. They can expect quarterly reviews. They can expect rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries. They can expect multi-generational and fully implemented planning, so on and so forth. So if you start, do you have that template?
I sent it out to you.
Sure. And just start working on that. And here's, once you get that done and approved by compliance, then I'm going to teach you ways you can use it to get referrals, get it more in people's minds. You're going to sit down with clients and go over it. You're going to give it to your prospects, and you're going to give it to your centers of influence. And I tell you a very professional way to do that, but we can't do that until we get that, until you get that that put together.
Right. Okay.
All right. So that's
okay.
That's all quality homework that is under your control. I think it's a good plan between now and the next time we talk.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so, Rob.
All right. I will. I'm going to send you a link that you might enjoy.
Good. All right. I appreciate that.
You ever want to talk, pick up the phone and call me.
I'll take you up on that, Rob.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
Good man, Ken.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
God says they never. Here's another way you could look at this. God says he'll never give you more than you can handle. He must have a pretty damned high opinion of you. see you later.
All right, Robert. Thanks so much. I sure appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.